Okie
Okie dokie, artichokey. Welcome along
dokie.
to the Mac and Football Show. We have a
Here
full
we are.
cast tonight, aren't we? Stacked out.
A
Lovely.
real contingent going on.
Something must have happened in that Preston North End game to make everybody a little bit animated and want to
Everyone's
say
like,
their piece.
I've got shit to say.
You've got a
Yo.
full cast of us. Let me just
Yeah.
go through everybody who's doing it on a audio. Obviously, I'm Anthony Markham. We have, I'll do left to right. Andrew? Hello?
Hola.
La. We got Paul Wilson.
Hello.
Hello. Well, I don't know why you've still got Pierre Ecwa as your profile picture, but David.
Until he is out the club, fully gone, not just on loan. It's staying.
Okay.
But hello.
Hello. Standing on his shoulders, Alan. Via Xbox, as you can see. Reliable
Alan
service.
is playing Warzone. I'm telling
I'm
you,
not actually,
he's in the fucking drop
I'm
ship right now.
not I'm not playing Warzone. I can't multitask. Oh yeah, fair enough. Good point. And how do I point that? There you go. And in the bottom right corner we have Jacob, aka Yorkshire Markham.
Bonjour.
Won't
Hola, bonjour.
Yeah,
Je
bonjour.
m'appelle.
I actually prefer it on
Yeah.
the Xbox just
Yeah.
because I'm wearing my headset. You feel
Oh, yeah.
more, yeah. I feel like, yeah, when I'm on my phone, it just
Professional.
feels a bit, well, not
So
that.
you're
It's
talking
just,
and nothing in it. When
yeah.
you're on your, just like, oh, all right. I wish they did the fucking the video chat though on Xbox. That would be good. That's what they need to integrate next. Like
That's what
they need
they,
to
you
bring back
just,
the Kinect.
Xbox.
Bring back the Kinect.
The greatest commitment. I actually had one, you know, and I thought it was all
I'm
right. I
man,
just
sure
didn't
you
have the
did, like.
space. I just didn't have like the floor space to use it properly. Bong is saying bong in the
Bong out.
chat.
Bong is a legend.
Are we ever going to get bong on? He has been on the Discord, and he has vocalized a couple of times in a watch along, so possibly.
All right.
Okay.
Man, I can't wait to
Yeah.
have a real life conversation with Bong.
Yeah.
I think if we get the playoff final, right, we have to Bong has to
Special
go there.
guest.
Yeah.
Special guest star Bong.
Yeah, that's
I'd be
it.
fucking gone. You're not gone. Like, if we get there. I don't know if
Well,
I could afford to.
I'd
I'd
way away
try,
from
mate.
you. Yeah, I try to, like, but failing that, the next best place to be is right here on
Online.
Anthony Markham's watch along.
All right,
In hell.
I'm going to jump and interject now. So, between our last podcast on this channel, I have been on on another one. So just don't call me Judas. I have
Fucking
actually
done
done.
what?
I have guest appearance on the how do you how,
What?
the Build Bear Black Hats on the podcast for another
Did
Sunderland channel.
you get
Oh
paid?
yeah, no, I didn't get paid. I didn't get paid,
Boo. This is the cross
but
promotion bit. I
it
hope
is
they're
the.
cross promoting us as well.
Oh yes, they definitely are. Which is good. Wider world, but I did discuss in depth on that one, the Cardiff City game. So I have said my piece, but I know you boys haven't. If you want to go through the Cardiff 2-1 win, whistle stop to it, and then we'll go on to the main piece today, which is the Preston game. So. Cardiff first. Who wants to rant?
How about we just do like a short 2 minute summary each of how we feel about Cardiff? How
Yeah,
about
all
that?
right. Okay.
That sounds good.
Top level of it,
Right.
by the
Yeah.
way. Sunderland 1-2-1. A very early goal from Eliza Meander. A leveller just before half time from I don't even know his first
Davies,
name.
it was.
Davies,
Davies.
and then.
Yeah.
I'd say the most scuffed Wilton Isidore shot to leave Metham on a tap in for his debut goal, his first goal. What do you call it? Just his first ever
First
goal
goal
because
for
he,
us, yeah.
yeah.
Yeah,
First,
first goal.
I think it's his first goal for 4 years or something, isn't it? I mean,
Well, I
it's been
couldn't
a
have picked a
while.
better time.
Yeah.
What a legend.
So
So,
there you go. That
I'll start
was.
by saying I didn't watch it because I was in the park. So, that's my bit done. Who's next?
I was there, so
I'll sum it up in a minute or so, I guess. Obviously, early goal, like you said.
Nice to get an early goal. We haven't had one then for a while.
Then, again, just, I don't know, not much press. We had a bit of the ball. They really didn't show anything. And then it's the same old thing, you know, let's just lob it in the box because that's our Achilles heel, or one of the Achilles heels we've got is dealing with the ball in the air. And I don't want to throw them under the bus again, but I feel like you could argue that he was fouled when he came, right, sort of tried to collect it. But I feel like that's a fairly weak claim to say he was fouled. Obviously, the finish was fairly easy once it got past the keeper and the two people. But it's obvious it's a weak part of his game. Like, people online vehemently defend him and say, oh, he's academy product. He's, you know, you're just slagging. You're a sheep. You're following everyone else. Well, you know, you can't dispute facts. The facts are there. Every time the ball's lobbed in, or you know, there's a situation where you want a keeper to come and collect and be confident, he doesn't do it. So, I've said it before that he's not going to change him. Too late in the season now. And you could argue, you know, he redeemed himself with a save later on. You know, that. But we all see it all the time. He's a good shot stopper, but it's the all-around game that we moan about all the time. And then, can't really remember the second half. It puffed and puffed a bit, I guess. And then, yeah, like I said, Metham's goal. But that was the main point for me.
Well, the actual conceding goal. Yeah.
I'm not going to focus on the negatives. I'm going to focus on the positives. Like I said, I think it was good that we got an early goal. And good that Meander's back on the score sheet as well. And I'm jumping a bit ahead of you, but I think it was a bit of a travesty that he was taken off recently in the last game. But he looked good then. I think he was pretty good the whole game. Like Alan said, it was a bit scrappy second half, but like I'm looking at the old, you know, the momentum chart, are you?
The graph, yeah.
Yo. The graph. Yeah. It's fucking all Sunderland, like the whole game, pretty much. It was all Sunderland.
It just didn't feel like it though. Like I'm watching it, when I'm sat there and I'm watching that, and like it stand out and you remember stuff. I couldn't really remember anything, to be honest with you. Well, I was like, it was a bit meh. I mean, we won and I was happy we won, obviously, but like...
The stats say that it was an expected victory and the XG was 2.5 to 0.5. So it's a game we should have won comfortably and might not have been comfortable, but we won it.
Luke 09, man of the match, according to Silver Score.
Oh, Luke played well, yeah.
Did he have a good game, did he?
Yeah.
Solid. The worst player on our team was Pato, according to the
least. That's a surprise.
But I don't want him to become this figure where, you know, but you can't help talk about incidents that happen. Mm. You know, we can't ignore it. You know, I hate getting on people's backs. I hate booing, by the way. Like, you know, when people boo, I say, what are you fucking booing for? We're not, like, going to get relegated and it's, you know, it's not the dark days of fucking love and Metham. Yeah, it's, you know what I mean? I feel like, you know, I've said my piece about some fans. Some fans are fucking morons. It's a fact. It's in every club, all right? But, you know, realistically, you've just got to highlight what you see and what our weaknesses are. And
Okay.
Well, all I want is the club to have good momentum going into the playoffs because that's where we're destined to go. That's all I'm looking for is good momentum. And when we have sort of poor to middling performances, that's not going to help.
Correct.
I thought it was an alright performance.
It was okay.
It was controlling, I think, but it wasn't exciting and it wasn't overly flashy, I guess. The whole game, like I said, I've summarised this already and a little bit in depth, but I will harp on and I will defend Patterson in that instance, but also kind of attack him as well at the same time. So, like you said, Alan, when Pato's coming out for that goal, he should be a little bit more dominant, a little bit more in control and just go through players. That's the whole point having a solid goalkeeper at the back. He doesn't exactly command it. The I kept on mixing Coventry and Cardiff up because they were playing in a very sky blue. So my head's just still Coventry did this. It wasn't. It was Preston. It was Cardiff. The incident, the player tries to handball it and punch it like Maradona. His hand is across the face of Patterson. That, to me, is a foul, regardless if he touches or not. He is attempting. He's trying to punch the ball.
Did he touch him, did he?
He puts his hand. He tries to punch the ball. He tries to punch the ball, and his hand goes in front of Patterson's face. That's impediment. It's not. It doesn't touch him, but it's impediment. So impediment is still technically a foul. So it should have been called back.
Very protected, though. Like, yes, the keepers are very protected. No, like, if they go up, there's a clash 9 times out of 10.
The blow for a foul like that across his face. How are you supposed to see the ball? That is impediment.
Play devil's advocate, Smithy, though. Like, the play devil's advocate of that. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, Pat has come a long way out. Like, it's not as if he's fucking took one step forward to get it. He's had to, like, run.
But when do you jump and try and header a ball with your fists like that? You don't.
I'm not saying that's not what he did. I'm just saying, like, Pat has come a long way. What the referee's probably saying is he's come out a distance and went to get the ball and hasn't got it. Like, that's what he's probably saying.
Yeah, that is what... Like I said, Pat Odo should have been stronger, should have been a lot more stronger and commanding in that position. But it's still, for me, should be... Like, if that was a VAR situation, it would be called back. It is literally that simple. It's micromanaging it, but yeah, it would have been...
We can't... Who knows what fucking VAR's going to do, mate? Like, let's talk about VAR.
Okay.
It's a fucking coin flip, man.
We'll skip it. But again, we scored two goals. Miendo was absolutely class. Early doors, low scuff shot, and Mepham. Again, it was just...
It wasn't a scuff shot. It was good. It was a tidy finish.
It was a scuff shot. Low, little...
Was it a scuff shot? Mepham's goal was a scuff shot.
Yeah.
He just fucking swung a leg at it and went in.
Balls on the back of the net twice for us. I'm all right. Yeah, that's it. And we took 3 points home. That's more important than anything else. Doesn't matter how we do it at this stage. It's as long as we're trying to not slip down out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right. This side of the podcast has been very quiet so far. So, Paul and...
To be honest, I was there. I was actually surprised that we have just scored it that early, to be honest, because I looked at Michael, I was like, when was the last time we scored this early?
We haven't in a long time, that's what I'm saying. Like, it hasn't happened in ages.
Right. I'm going to turn you up on my end. Boom.
I do actually have to agree with you, and I thought it was a foul on Patterson. I actually spoke to Keith Hackett, ex-referee. And I said to him, because I actually gave him sent him the clip. I said to him, actually, what do you think? And he said straight away that's a foul on the keeper.
So VAR, there you go, you got your VAR decision there from PGMOL.
Yeah, I was happy for Chris Metham to score his first goal for the club as well.
Fantastic, mate. Fantastic. Jacob, what did you think, mate?
We were okay. Good to get an early goal because you never see Sunderland do that often. I think Cardiff, like you said, their goal should have been disallowed because it literally sort of pretty much punching Patterson in the face, and then we were just thinking at 1-1, thinking typical Sunderland, probably going to end up only getting a point. But then, thank you to Chris Mepham, scoring his first goal for Sunderland.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, granting us the 3 points, and yeah.
I mean,
what I would say is like the stats say that it should have been a convincing win, and I mean, Alan reckons it didn't feel like that. And it probably doesn't feel like that because can you remember the last time we had a good performance start to finish?
I'll tell you when it was the Luton game when we won 2-0.
Yes.
Like, there's so many of these games are like huffing and puffing, like we've got to find another goal and all. You know, and it was the same against Preston as well. Like, I'd just like for us to turn up one day and fucking play someone off the park and win 4-0.
Really, the press isn't there. Do you know what I mean? Like the intensity and well, I don't want to push on to the pressing here, but the intensity of, you know, we're at home and we want to get the ball back quickly, we want to turn and we want to get forward. I feel like that isn't there at the minute. You know, I don't know if it's a tactics thing, is it a 4-4-2 thing?
I reckon he's told them not to do it. I reckon he's told them to sit in a little bit. Like, he's not, like I said this before, like we're not the same possession team as we were last year when we had Mowbray. You know, he liked to keep the ball and move it around and that. Like, Libri doesn't care about that. He's like very results based, you know what I mean? Like, doesn't care about the 60% possession, like when he wants to win. And I like that. But yeah, I just don't think it must be a tactical thing.
It has to be. Yeah, I think you're right, man. It has to be because I think there's some of our players you can tell just want to get further up the pitch half the time. You can see them just having to hold back. But again, it's working. We're picking up the points, and I think that's where we would typically in the past just drop them. What I do find more frustrating though is we do take a one goal lead and sit on it, and our defence and our goalkeeping, we've already mentioned a couple of times, it's just not solid enough to play with that style. So
this is what I mean, mate. This is what I mean. Like, it's like we're always like huffing and puffing.
It's a complete opposite story of last season though. Last season defensively we were decent. We had a couple of clean sheets in a row. We just couldn't score. We didn't have a striker who was scoring. Now we've got the other side of the pitch sorted out. You've got Meander on fire, Isidore on fire. You've got just contributing as well.
It's mad though because I don't think our defence is bad. Like, I don't
know, it's not bad.
Apart from the left back position, like, I think they're all.
It's not
bad. Even Serving's not that bad.
It's not bad for 88 minutes of games. It's silly, simple moments every single time. It just seems to be that slip up. I don't know if you recall earlier in the season, it was Luke 09, wasn't it? He was messing up a couple of games in a row. Now it's Patterson. Like, there's somebody at the back who's making a mistake and it's costing us a point here, 2 points there. You're like, just, can we get our players to just
mature a good point. Little?
Yeah, go for it.
Dylan made a good point the other day, but the pressing game, that he thinks they've been told to let them have it a little bit more because teams are sitting deep when they come to the stadium, so I feel like that.
Yeah, you're going to let them have them, like, draw them up, like, draw them out, you know
yeah,
what I
feel
mean?
Like, yeah,
that's what we were discussing, aren't we? Am I?
All right, I haven't heard you. Yeah. Sorry, go on, mate.
Yeah, that's what we were discussing at the match, weren't we? Because you were, I think we're skipping ahead, but like you were on about we should be retaining the ball.
Yeah, but what happened when I said when they had all of the ball, like there's a flip side to each scenario.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Is if you're letting them have the ball and you want to get them on the counter, you best do it quickly because the more they've got the ball, the more confidence they've got, which was what happened against
Builds, isn't it?
Preston.
Builds.
Yeah. So there's two sides to each sort of tactic, I guess. You know what I mean? And it's just getting that fine balance.
There's been games,
maybe
the whole game, you know, we had 90% of the ball, but we could have played until fucking midnight and we wouldn't have scored. Do you know what I mean? Because we could not break them down because they were sitting with 11 men behind the ball. So, like, what do you do in that situation? Because they were 1-0 up and fucking happy to
not put a man over the
halfway line. So, at 0-0, for me, yeah. Let them have a bit more of the ball so we can get them on the break. Obviously, that changes if they get the first goal or whatever. But I can see what Alan was saying. There's flips to both sides, pros and cons. But, I mean, if I was Libri watching the whole game, I'd have thought, right, we're not doing this again. Like, fucking give them the ball. Let them push up a bit, open up some space to allow us to get in. And that's probably what he was thinking when he played two up top, but again, I think we're We're jumping ahead if we're not up to that yet. But
no, no,
he wasn't.
We can
quite formation.
We can
4-4-2.
We can quite clearly move on to the Preston game here, like, because it was it's chipping into everybody's thoughts now, isn't it? So,
well, I tell you what we'll talk about before we talk about the actual game is the formation and the 4-4-2.
I think now, it works. I think it works.
I completely disagree.
I think it works on when we. I don't like starting with a 4-4-2.
Yeah,
maybe it's when we have to go. If we have to go for it, you know, push the wingers further up, maybe. But when there was two in that middle against Preston, we fucking suffered. Like, we really suffered with ball retention.
Yeah.
The first thing
I noticed, I know you were at the game, but I was watching on the telly. And I was like, there's fucking mega gaps in the middle because there was an extra bloke should have been in there and he wasn't. He was pushed up. But do you know where that extra bloke was or where the extra shirt was? It was Paddy Roberts, because for that full first half, he might as well have not been on the pitch, because every ball that went down that line went straight to Meander while he was running around the back. So Paddy Roberts was behind Meander on the wing. He might as well have not been there because anyone was paying any attention to him. I think he touched the ball two or three times, and that's being fucking, you know,
generous. That's a bit naive of not using your wing player. That's not necessarily him being anonymous. Yeah. That's just them not looking that way. Him not seeing there's been in a gap that's suitable for a pass.
There was plenty of times when he was standing in open, and he was like that. He was just not being utilized at all. And what is the point in having him there? He might as well. And then we'll talk about Watson. Me and Alan were having this conversation at the match, and I didn't know who was worse, to be honest, on the two wings, whether it was, you know, Roberts for being anonymous, a waste of a fucking shirt, or Watson for getting the ball and doing nothing with it every single time. Like,
yeah, a lot of the ball and did nothing with it. I can't give him grief because... He's literally just got back, and I just think, you know, the system didn't work even for Roberts. Mm. We only looked good when we went back to three in the middle, you know. So
we looked better. I'm not going to say we looked good.
No, I think we look better when it changed. I said to Davey straight away, I said we look a lot better when he's put an extra midfield on. What I will say though is Preston didn't come and sit. You know what I mean? They had a go, once they got confidence, they were like, yeah, let's fucking have a go at these, you know what I mean? So, look, sometimes tactics, you know, people can get it wrong, and he did change it, to be fair. But, you know, I don't want to move on to the controversy yet, like, but, you know, we'll still talk about the game. I just thought overall, I don't want to start with 4-4-2. That's what
being shown for 4-4-2, haven't we? But
want to start with it.
Yeah, on that first half, I would not. Yeah, I don't know why anybody else thinks outside of me and Alan, because we're definitely on the fucking same page here. Like, but
no, I wouldn't be saying. I think I said in the chat, like, the 4-4-2 looked good when we managed to win the ball like high up the field because we had the numbers up straight away. Do you know what I mean? We looked dangerous. If we nabbed it in this like centre circle. And we already had two fucking strikers running, you know, charging the defenders. We looked good. Like, we looked dangerous at that point.
Yeah.
But it barely ever happened. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was too much. I agree with Houston. Like, I'm on the same page there. Also, like, I like to see us with two strikers up top. Don't get me wrong. But... we're not starting it. Like, we shouldn't be starting it. It should be a chasing game situation.
So, I think I'm in a fortunate position a little bit here. I slept in. I started my the watch along at like the 35th minute, something like that. So I missed the opening half an hour. Was it that dreadful?
Bleary eyed. It was no, mate. It wasn't dreadful. I'm not going to say it was dreadful. I've seen us play much much worse.
We had chances. We did have chances.
Like, it was just way too open. Like, way too open.
There was no...
The halftime socials were like, flow. This is dross, this is boring, nothing's happening. Never stopped.
Yeah, there was no flow. It was...
But again, like...
we had the ball, they had the ball.
Extremely negative.
We had the ball.
Yeah. Like, if it's not going our way immediately, there's a lot of negativity just building up and bottle popping.
Everyone expects us to win every game, man. That's the thing now. The expectations are growing.
They're an echo chamber, mate.
The home crowd expect us to be dominant every game. That's the way it is. It's always been like that. People go to watch the match to watch us win. You know what I mean? And when the longer it goes on and it's 0-0 and it's the crowd sort of, I mean, it's worse midweek. You know, about atmosphere. The atmosphere only picked up fucking when they started taking the piss, which we're coming on, because I would feel like that's going to take up a lot of the the podcast. But that's just the way Sunderland's crowd's always been. You know what I mean?
I'm not going to say it. I just think there's a little bit more expectation around the club now. Yeah. Now that we've been doing well for a period of time, you know, we've had a good season. We're sitting in fourth. There's a massive buffer between us and fifth. Like, I just feel there's a bit more expectation. Like the crowd expects us to win. Expects us to play well.
But if the crowd expects us to win, Andrew, I know you weren't there. Like, Paul, were you there, mate?
I was in the
Southwest
corner.
I said to Alan 5 minutes before the game kicked off, I was like, "The fuck is everyone? Like, there's still people milling in. There's empty seats all out. Like, what is this?" I was like, "It's been a while since I've been in a midweek one." I was like, "Is this just the midweek crack?"
And
the crowd wasn't very. I wouldn't say that
animated.
We weren't animated. We weren't there was a couple of fucking half chance, but nothing like. I mean, obviously, again, when we talk about the second half and them taking the piss and what happened after that, but it was flat. First half, flat crowd, flat game.
Go on, Paul. Chip in, mate. Chip in.
Yeah, it was. To be honest with you. I agree with you as well. I wouldn't have started with 4-4-2 because I looked at Michael straight away. I was like the spaces that we had. I said to Michael, it feels like that Preston's actually the home team. Yeah, because they would keep coming to us.
I mean, I don't know about them feeling about the home team towards the end of the game either, though. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but that was after the incident, wasn't it? So
yeah. Can I just also add side thing that's just popped into my head. Andy, repping Team Xbox with his controller behind you. Paul with Team PlayStation.
Shit.
Go on,
right.
Listen, man, I'm not about the console wars, but what I will say is, if you got a PlayStation, you're a little bitch.
Oh, I've got to buy a PlayStation now, then.
Fuck Sony, mate. I hate Sony, mate. Like, the amount of shit that they do. But the most thing I hate about them is the way that they track Kesha. That's fucking the most reason why I hate Kesha.
Why have we gone on this fucking massive tangent here from talking about Preston?
It can't always be a heavy football chat all the time. You've got to like interject now and then.
I'm in your chicken sandwich. Right, that's okay, mine.
You're in your chicken sandwich, David. What did they do to Kesha?
It's a bit.
I don't think it's too, but key
dollar sign ha.
That was a Sony Brandon, the dollar sign. Oh, that was the way that I wanted the brander. Anyway, let's just say that there was a certain producer who
Dr. Luke.
Dr. Luke, yeah, who did some very questionable actions with Kesha, and obviously if you go through those type of things, you don't want to be around that type of person, and she asked to not be around that person anymore, and Sony refused, and then she said, well, if you're going to make me stay around this person who's assaulted me, fuck you lot, I want out of my contract, and they refused, and then they took her. We went through a big court kind of situation. And they were very nice. But basically, the top and bottom of it is they're fucking assholes.
Yes.
I don't like Sony because of what they did to Spider-Man. Fuck Sony. Fuck Sony for all your Spider-Man nonsense. Just want to see Spider-Man and Avengers, man.
Right, Preston.
No. Jacob. Your
Jacob, why do you hate Sony?
You've got an LG TV. I'm with PlayStation. I've got a PlayStation.
Ah, you a bitch.
We're literally Xbox versus PlayStation. Oh, that's funny.
Do you hate Sony because of how much they charge for PlayStation 5s?
If I bought one, I'd be like, fuck, I've paid this much for this brick.
This paper waste.
Right. There you go. Right.
This is a segue to the fucking debacle of the referee. Right.
What? The referee, the paperweight, is that what you're saying?
The referee responded by Sony.
Right.
Now, me and Davey, me and Davey sat there. I can't remember how it started, right? Because it went on that long. I can't even remember the first incident. I think one of their players went down when Luke 09 didn't hit him in the box. He dove in the box and held his head.
Yeah, Nobody touched him, Alan.
I know that because I watched it afterwards. No one touched him. He went down it because he knew the pressure was on.
The pressure was on because we'd had the ball probably 5 minutes and we were fucking flinging it in for about the fucking fourth or fifth time in a row. And then he just fucking... Casper came along and that was it. You know?
And then all I can say after that is... Well, I'll say a few things, but the referee, the way he handled it was unbelievable.
It was pathetic.
It was absolutely. I've never seen anything like it. He totally lost it. He lost it. I don't know how many players went down. It must have been three or four.
It was three different players on six occasions.
Right, and then fucking Dan Neil, I seen this clip. He went out to the ref and went, "This is fucking embarrassing." He actually said that to the referee. And he's fucking right. It was fucking embarrassing. Methan was fucking foaming. Honestly, the longer it went on, right? The 12th player bit, the fucking referee, the linesman, sorry, he stood next to the fucking 12th player. The linesman stood there.
Bit.
Like, he's just looking at him. Like, I'm like, these clowns are like... Look, he added 9 minutes on, but he just lost both teams. The Preston knew they could take the piss, and Sunderland were foaming. You know what I mean? I don't know if there's the PGM world get involved with stuff like that. That performance, he should be fucking, I don't know, retrained to deal with situations.
He should be fucking demoted, Alan.
Well, no, he's not going to get sacked. Well, yeah, he should be demoted, but that's not going to happen.
I'm not saying sack him. I'm saying... Put him in fucking League One or a League Two because that was fucking disgraceful. It was fucking... I could not believe it. And me and you were looking at each other going, what the fuck is going on here? I've never seen anything like this in fucking 20 years of watching Sunderland.
I've been watching football for a long time and I've never seen a referee...
He lost control. Lost control. Absolutely. Up and down and up and fucking down and up and down. And then the 12 men on the fucking pitch.
The 12 men on the field is a fucking NFL flag. Get your fucking flags out.
Fucking too many men, isn't it?
Too many men. That's it. 12 men on the field. Fucking out. We should name and shame him, by the way. The guy's called William James Finney. William James Finney, if you're watching this podcast, mate.
Shout out.
Get yourself fucking... Firstly, sponsor the podcast. Secondly...
Hand in
your whistle, hang up your whistle or whatever it's called.
Those accidents have actually been reported to the FA as well.
Good. Have they? Good. So they should, because it was a damn disgrace. I mean, I wasn't at the game, I was watching it on the telly and I was watching the Frankie stream. And you all know what Frankie's like. Frankie was fucking livid, like he was practically like screeching.
Well, and Danny. Like,
this is a disgrace, Danny. Danny, this is 12 men on the field, Danny. Dad, the referee's got to get hold of this, Daddy. Daddy Collins is like, yeah, mate, I know. Frankie's fucking kicking off.
It was.
Danny should have just said, here, Frankie, got on the pitch, mate. I'll fucking sort it out. Can you imagine him?
I could see the bench and all, like, they were kicking off on the bench. I think
I'm not fucking surprised.
But it was a debacle. And what I'll also say, Preston were winning comfortably, right? Although we were applying a bit of pressure, they could have went and scored another goal, but they chose to fucking feign injury and be unsportsmanlike. So like, if I was a fucking supporter of that club, like why are we doing this? I get there's a bit of time waste involved and a bit of fucking
professionalism.
No, shit, I was right. But that is on another level, lads. That was on another level. If I was a fucking ref, like the coach, I'd be a fucking embarrassed that three players have gone down taking the fucking piss. And another, why can't they boot them?
Oh, they should have been. Like, I think that's half the battle. Every time the players... somebody literally went down and went, oh, shit, I'm off the pitch. Stood up, moved 2 yards.
Yeah, rolled on the pitch, yeah.
Like, what the fuck? Like, that should be...
He was laughing as well, wasn't he? Weren't they laughing as he was going off or something like that?
Yeah.
What I would say about this is, I mean, this is the worst, the most egregious example of this. But like this is, it's not just contained to this one game. You see it every fucking week. Every week you've got like opposition players going down. Like it happens in the first half, it happens in the second half. I'm telling you, someone will go down in the 35th, 40th minute,
just so that
the manager can have a little gas with the fucking team. Same thing will happen in the second half. Someone will go down like 80 minutes, so the gaffer can like relay what they want to say to the whole team. You can see them all fucking gathering in the technical area, getting their drinks and getting their fucking talking to by the boss. It happens every fucking game without fail.
Their keeper should have been off as well, Freddie Woodman.
I was literally about to say that, Paul. Like, I was literally about to fucking say that. He should have been fucking gone. And I'm just fucking glad. And to be honest, the referee, he fucking knew he had to do something. Because immediately after all this shit happened, right? And they had a goal kick. He was taking a piss, he booked him, right? Booked the fucking keeper straight away. And Alan said to me, he had to fucking do that there to try and get control of this game, taking the fucking piss. But before that, he was still fucking time wasting and taking the piss. They were fucking taking the piss in the first half. And also, and like Andrew said, this fucking thing, it's not just about this game. Hull, the whole fucking match, yeah, they won fucking 1-0. But the goalkeeper was time wasting the entire fucking game. And he didn't get booted until the 75th minute. The entire game. He was taking the piss.
It goes back even further than that, you know. It goes back when we were playing Leeds at home. They were fucking time wasting. Not then, mate. When we were playing Leeds at home, they were time wasting, and we scored that goal right at the end because their keeper was a fucking donut. Like,
Melia.
If they didn't fucking time waste, mate, that might never happen. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's endemic, man. It fucking happens every week, especially when we're at home. Especially, it's ridiculous. They've got to do something to fucking get a hold of this because it's fucking
It wouldn't.
It only happens to us. Don't happen to anyone else.
I wouldn't go that far.
I think in every club, in the Championship,
definitely.
We do it though. Absolutely. I know.
I don't.
We look at say, you know, Sunderland with rose tinted, right? Because we fucking support them. But I can't remember us ever fucking going down. Like, anybody taking the fucking
not going down,
like
but I do remember us actually time-wasting in one game this season, and I need to remember which one it was.
Pato got booked.
I was literally saying at the time, everybody else does
Luton
it,
away.
So why don't we? That was my comment.
Luton away.
Was it?
I'll tell you.
I swear it was Luton away. I think it might have been Luton away.
Well, Pato get booked.
I'll have a look. Yeah. Hang on, I'm just going to...
I can remember it.
He got booked in the Leeds game.
Yeah, it would have been Leeds, I think.
Yeah, that's it. That's the only time he's been booted, I think. Oh, no, he's got two. Hang on. All yours, lads.
He's got two yellow cards.
Two yellow cards.
It'll be the Luton game.
Nah, it was. Well done. Who said Luton away? Yeah, he got booted in that.
Yeah, me.
Luton away, he got booked in the Leeds game. I don't know. The most recent Leeds game he got booked.
I get it, right? Teams do it, we've done it, right? But not to the extent that we saw against Preston. That was un-fucking believable. It was unbelievable. For a referee to not enforce any discipline and to just watch players and let a 12th man on the pitch, it's absurd.
And well, 12 men on the field is...
I can't get my head around it.
I can't believe that was allowed to happen. Like, it's mental.
Here's another point. I don't think it happens as much in the Premier League like that, because it's not forefront of everyone wants to watch the games, you know what I mean? It's not every, like, it's Sullivan v Preston. It's not a fucking Hollywood tie. People don't want, you know, it's Premier League and VAR. I feel like there's more scrutiny at that level. I feel like the Championship and below is, there's much more, I don't know, ineptness, if you like, amongst officials. I've been saying all season about the standard of referees. I just don't think they're paid enough, and I don't think they're professional enough, especially in the lower leagues. You know what I mean? I know it's a thankless job, but you've got to have good standards. Yeah. Well, do they?
I mean, they get.
I don't think they do.
They get at least 50. They get at least a good normal.
Well, let's book and find out how much a Championship ref gets per annum.
I'm going to Google it now. But before I do that, I'm just going to retract my previous statement. Whoever I said before was the ref wasn't the ref. The guy was called Lewis Smith. So if you're Lewis Smith and you're watching this, hang up your whistle.
The podcast.
I'll find out how much referees are paid. I got.
There's just slandered some poor.
No, sorry, the other guy I said. I was looking at the wrong game.
You should be sacked either way, though. Horrific.
Lewis.
While Andrew's looking for that.
Yeah.
What, the best thing about that was Mundell's goal. And it got everyone up, got the crowd going, got the players going. Right, and the finish was sublime. So maybe if they never did that, they might have won 1-0. All right, so they've only got their own. They've got them fucking selves to blame for fucking drawing them because the fucking for the shithousery, if you like.
Yeah, I mean the crowd was fucking right up for it.
Nah, everyone was fucking raging.
Didn't
give
them the fucking ball back. Fucking tearing tackles and all that kind of shit really drove them fucking forward.
That's what I mean. It took us a couple of guns.
Yeah, that's it. Paddy had a couple of goes. I think we had a corner. And then eventually it was recycled after a few round to Mundell. And Mundell scored a fucking incredible goal. Absolutely top fucking bins.
Do you know what?
Curled. It was mint.
It was so good. Do you know, like, when you can't remember it? Like, so I watched it. And then the next thing I knew, I was in the fucking centre of the room jumping around because it was a fucking worldie. And I was like, how? How have I got to this position? It was that good. Like, I don't know, man. Like, really, really good goal.
And David nearly broke me thumb.
Oh, yeah. And,
I knew you were going to drop that in, Al. You were waiting for...
In the celebration, there was a lot of jumping around and hugging. Look, listen, sometimes thumbs just get in the way.
David bent me thumb back at 180 degrees.
Does it move that way?
No, it doesn't. That's why I've got a massive bruise on my thumb.
Hey, he's just making sure you still can play Warzone properly, right?
Got a little strap on, I'll be all right, mate.
Right. Just before we go down that route, just to settle back there, how much is a Championship ref paid? So the Championship refs don't like the salary isn't released, but it's less than the Premier League ref. The Premier League ref earns between 73.5 and 147 grand a year.
So less than 73.
Less than 73 grand a year is what they're on.
That's,
I would imagine.
That's a director level pay.
Quite a lot less than that.
That's a good salary for basically turning up.
Fenners is earning more than that, I tell you. Fenners is on more than Championship refs. Shout out Fenners.
I don't know. Like I think if you want,
definitely not 20 grand, mate. Like that's not.
No, mate. It's not. Minimum wage 20 grand. 24, isn't it? 25 minimum wage.
Less than minimum wage, that.
They're not working full time.
Minimum wage is not 24 grand, man.
You only work 90 minutes a fucking week. Yeah, I'm going to estimate 60 grand, something like that.
Yeah, fair. Okay, so that aside, the whole point of that was, aren't they paid enough to actually be professional?
I appreciate, like, it's like he goes out there and he doesn't necessarily know what he's going to have to deal with, but he should have the tools to be able to deal with, like, individual events. Do you know what I mean? If you see someone going down, he's clearly taking the piss. fucking boot them or get them off the field and let the game continue. It's not that hard. I can fucking do it.
I think there should be like a time
unless,
limit on
unless
that
he's
well,
so though. Hamstrung, he's like, if like game... he's like, I can't move this guy because I might get in trouble if I do that. So the best thing for him to do is just like point to his watch and say he's had none time. Oh, it's just dereliction of fucking duty. That's what it is.
I think
get a fucking hand on it, rest. Jesus.
Even if we say just like as an arbitrary rule, if the game's already been interrupted for 2 minutes, anything after that, if a player then decides to sit down and need medical attention, that player will get a yellow card. I think that way, the player's
not going to restart. That's not going to work.
Yeah, but you're stopping the game. There's no head injury.
There's no head injury.
Yeah.
Right, so I thought the rules were you'll only stop the game for energy. Why don't you just fucking ignore these cretins and just play the game? You know what I mean? If people are just falling down, say, well, all right.
That's a really good point.
We're just carrying on.
Every injury then is a head injury, though, isn't it? So, like, you could get kicked in the shin, you'll go down holding his head. The referee will be like, oh, head injury.
Well, if it's proven that it's not an injury, then boot them. For fucking cheating.
Simulation.
Because it's cheating. It's cheating. You get booked for diving for a fucking yellow for in a box, simulation for a pen. So why don't you fucking book them for feigning an injury? It needs to be stamped out. It needs to be stamped out. We can talk about it every week.
It happens every week. It fucking needs sorting out, like. Because it's embarrassing. It is embarrassing for the game.
It absolutely is.
Imagine if you're seeing that on a Sunday morning.
You'd be
fucking trampled on, mate. And like a herd of elephants would just run over you. It's so wet. And it's just, it's a part of the game which has crept in, and I want rid of it.
I do think that's the cream of the crop on it. Should we talk about the reaction of Sunderland to that, though? Because... Without them winding us up that much, Mundell wouldn't have scored that goal.
It was a good reaction.
Yeah. Good goal.
Do you think that's good territory, Sunderland would have ramped up to that at all, at any point?
No, I don't think we would have. And that's the point that, Preston, I think they threw it away. I think if they kept playing the way they were playing, we had a little bit of pressure on. But I thought they deserved to win. Thought they played better than us, you know what I mean? And I said, like, at the start, we look better when we change formation. So
definitely
that. 5 minutes after we did.
We did, but I still say we look better even though we conceded.
I think we look much more comfortable than what we were doing once we changed. I think I said when I was watching the match, I was like, Alan fucking hell, he's gonna score here. The ball was past the edge of the box. Turned was it 09 who was his man? I don't know who it was because it was like the pitch.
It was a good finish.
He finished off the post.
He was dangerous though, even before that. Like, he had a couple of chances, and one he went through on goal, and I don't know how he missed the target so bad. He fucking sliced it and it went out.
Yeah,
like
that was a breakaway, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was through. It was practically one on one. I can't remember who was coming across, but the Sun defender was coming in.
Mm-hmm.
But he fucking sliced it and he missed it. That geezer was like, he was looking dangerous even before he scored.
Yeah, it was just, it's disappointing to concede when we were starting to look better. And then obviously the fucking...
So my point on this is, just again, running back to the stats, like the stats say we should have fucking won it comfortably. Like, it was XG's 2 to 0.7. So we should be winning that 2-1 or 2-0, right? Without a doubt. The Isidore header that he missed, by the way, fucking, I can't believe he missed that. Didn't even hit the fucking target.
Yeah, like, he only scores fucking worldies or hard goals.
That's it. Really difficult. You said that before, didn't you? Like, he should be tucking that away. And you could tell that it was in the first half, wasn't it? Before half time. Yeah. You could tell that he was fucking gutted. You can't be missing opportunities like that. He should definitely be scoring that. My point is, the stats say we should have won, but like, until the 80-something minute, we were fucking like hanging on. Like, and again, it was a huffy and puffy game, and we had to rely on essentially a wonder goal to salvage a point. When the stats say you should be fucking comfortably winning. Like, I bet you but the XG on that fucking Munro shot was next to now.
I mean, did you?
So whose fault is that though? Like, if the stats are saying we should be winning, but we're
well,
not.
Well, we had a few. Where, we had a few chances. So the Isidore
chance.
Where's
the lie?
Well,
yeah, there was one that went across. One went across the box and.
Yeah, Meendo was reaching but didn't get there. Like, there was a few chances like that. It's finishing. It's the final third, and this is going to bring us on to my next point, which is fucking Patrick Roberts. I'm fucking sick of this guy, man. Like, it is such a he is such a waste of his shirt. Every single game, he gets the ball, he runs down the line, sometimes he cuts in, and he does fucking nothing with the ball every time. He loses it every time. He has a shot, and it goes fucking 1 yard and hits off the five fucking defenders in front of him. Like, the guy is an absolute waste of a shirt. I cannot believe he's still getting in the fucking starting lineup. Winds me up. Winds me up so fucking rotten. I literally play fucking Meander there. Meander played out wide before, and he did a better job than when Roberts was injured. He did a fucking better job. The guy is fucking crap. Like, he has been crap for a year and a half, more than a year and a half.
Okay.
It is time to move on. He had one good season when Ahmad was beside him. It is time to fucking move him on. He's fucking rubbish.
Well, yeah, I think he's there. I think he's there for balance.
I understand that he's left footed. You want the left footed cutting in from the right. I understand that, but Meander can do that. He might not have the low center of gravity and the same tricky feet, but he can still do a good job, a better job than fucking Roberts. He's got no end product.
My confusion he's got on the right one, wing, though, mate. Is why would you put Rigg there as a replacement? Is that's a?
I wouldn't have Rigg out there. I think Rigg hasn't been that good recently either.
I thought he came on. He looked all right to me. Like, look, Rigg's been needing a rest, but you know, he's got the old Job syndrome.
Yeah, but that Job had last year. Bogus,
you know what I mean?
Bogus, Neil, Job, and Rigg have dropped off towards the end of the season, just in energy. Are we over reliant on the same?
I don't agree with Neil. I think Neil's solid still. I think he has good.
Neil's had a good season.
I don't think like when I look at weaknesses in the squad, I don't think Daniel's one of them. But Rigg, I agree.
Job
isn't either. I think he's had a good season again.
And I think in the first half, I think they gave Job man of the match. He controlled as much as he could when we had the ball.
People were saying because of his yellow card, like because he was on a yellow card and he could have got banned, I think. Yeah. But I feel like he played all right, mate. I said to David, Job was all right.
Job was man of the match according to Fot Mob. Like, so. Yeah, he had a good game. Dan Neil has been good, solid. Like, I think he moves the ball really well, and the intelligent player, isn't he? But fucking Roberts, I'm telling you, I wish that I don't know what he's got to do to not start. Like, he's been rubbish for fucking time, and he still gets played every fucking week.
Got an assist the day, though, didn't he?
One assist in 14 games. This is.
Yeah, but
one goal contribution in 14 games.
I'm not defending. It's crap. Like, I'm not defending. I'm just saying, like, from Labrie's point of view, I think he's probably thinking this team looks better. Although you're saying about Roberts' end product, the team moves the ball around better when he's in the side. It may be that.
Yeah.
You don't know. So.
I don't see it. And why I'm on the subject, like, the Meander sub was fucking mental. I can't believe he took Meander off. I was fucking screaming for Roberts to get off the pitch, and he took Meander off. Meander was one of our better players, not only in that game but the previous game. Like, I bet you fucking he's sitting there thinking, "Why is it? Why me? Like, why?" Hi in the background there. Why am I getting taken off? I'm one of the fucking better players.
He was getting taken off for formation, and he was getting taken off because
bullshit.
They want to one up front. Taken off in the game before. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah,
like,
but you can't pinpoint individual players. I'm sort of agreeing with Dave here, and say, you know, Roberts has been crap and come up. He's left him on and changed it round, and we looked better. Do you know what
but
I mean?
Who's to say if you took Roberts off and put Meander out wide like he had?
Well, Labrie's injured, he wouldn't
have been better.
Labrie's the fucking manager and we're fourth. So Labrie's the man to say that. You know what I mean? I know we're spitballing, Roberts hasn't performed this, but for me.
He hasn't, though. It's a fact.
Not a fact, but he's Labrie's probably thinking we don't look the same without him on the pitch. I mean, look, now's the time going into the playoffs to try different things. You know what I mean? Because we need to figure out what our best 11 is before we start going down this road.
Right, it doesn't include
the semis in the final. Well, maybe not, but, you know...
No, that's the thing. It does. I know you're saying that he's only got one goal contribution, but when we switched to that formation, the one that we've been playing, the comfortable one, we looked 100% better. Let me finish, Andrew. 100% better, Andrew. And Roberts was getting the ball. Oh, he looked fucked by 80 minutes, right? But he was getting the ball and he was whipping it in. I know you say that he cuts in and he does now, but when he whips it in, they were getting into the fucking box into good areas, Andrew. Yeah, he hasn't contributed or scored, but he is part of our best team. He is. Obviously, you might not see it because you're not his biggest fan, but Labrie sees it, and I think a lot of the supporters feel the same.
To like the guy. I want him to be good. I want him to get back to how he was playing fucking 2 years ago when he was beside Ahmad, however long it was. I want him to do that. I know he can do it. I've fucking seen it, but he hasn't done it. He hasn't done it for a long time.
But you kind of put Meander out there, though.
Of course you can. Sure. He did it earlier in the season.
Meander plays better in the middle.
He did it earlier in the season, and he still looked good out there. Still contributed.
Maybe, but I just feel like Meander's better.
I was just scrolling through fucking FotMob here, and just to get back to me point on the Meander sub, right?
Yeah.
This is how mental this is, right? Meander, bear in mind how he hasn't played as many minutes, right, as the likes of Isidore. He has more shots on target per game than anyone else in the fucking club. Anyone else? Like, the guy is obviously a fucking talent and is dangerous, and he's the one getting dragged off. It doesn't make any sense.
But if you only play one up front, you kind of have both. You kind of play Wilson and Meander up front, can you?
I'm not saying you have to play them both up front. I'm saying you play them out wide instead of fucking Roberts.
Well,
I tell you what, people.
I don't think that's going to happen.
People around me have actually calling for Isidore to go off, actually.
Well, but on the flips, I get it, like, because I didn't want to admit it, Meander go off, but. He's hoping Isidore scores to set him off on a run. Do you know what I mean?
He should have scored.
He should have. But if you drag someone off, right, and they know they haven't played well, it's like, oh, fuck, I missed that goal. I played shit. And I've been dragged off. But if you leave him on, he scores a goal, it's a different kettle of fish. It's man management. It's a fine line. Do you know what I mean? Labrie's got mac decisions for the good of the team.
Yeah,
and I just think, you know, we can't. I know subs, you know, everyone's sort of like got a different opinion on subs, but at the end of the day, we can't really argue with Labrie and the way he does it, because every time he makes a sub, something happens. There's an impact, and Mundell scored. So, look, all I'm saying, what I want to say is maybe try a few different things before we go into the playoffs to figure out what that final 11 is before we set down that road. You know what I mean? Because we want to be as strong as possible.
But at the minute, just while we're talking about Mundell, I would have Mundell ahead of Watson. I would have Mundell out wide on the left.
I was just going to say that. I think we all agree that.
I couldn't believe he wasn't starting, to be honest.
That Mundell on for Watson was 100% the right sub, because I think we said in the first, and we already covered it, like, Watson in the first half was like lot of the ball, all the gear, but really no idea. Like, there was no end product, and I was saying after 30 minutes, Alan says, "Fuck, like, we've got to get him off at half time. There's nothing coming through him. Mundell should have started, and potentially Watson should have came on for Mundell in the reverse kind of situation if we were 1-0 down or chasing the ball or whatever." I wouldn't have started him, and I don't think he'll start in the next game either. Not after that performance.
I don't think Labrie will do that, though.
Imagine if you're Mundell and you fucking score a world, you salvage a point, and then finally the next game you fucking start, like, you know, you haven't made a starting 11.
But
you'd be fucking raging. Talk about man management.
Well, it's
better be starting fucking Mundell tomorrow.
He probably will start him, but it wouldn't surprise me with Labrie, because he does like to pick his favourites,
And again, we've discussed it very briefly, kind of, it was kind of in depth. But, Patterson, Luke 09, Roberts now, like you've mentioned a couple of players that have been subpar, sub what we expect from them, and they still start week in, week out. So I think there's a little bit of, if you're showing the right attitude in the training sessions and what have you, he will prefer that rather than somebody trying to be flashy all the time. So he wants that level of consistency. So, yeah.
Remember when fucking...
Get a sheesh back. He's scoring.
We're doing a shot watch spotlight on Oshish.
Right. Do you remember when Harry Maguire was fucking on the pitch and Varane was on the bench?
Yeah.
It's a similar situation, isn't it? Where the Man U first gone, how the fuck is Harry Maguire starting and Varane has come from Madrid? World Cup winner Varane is on the bench. Managers, man. This, you know.
It's making funny decisions.
It'd be one.
Jacob, Paul, you've been kind of quiet. Do you want to jump in?
You hate Roberts as well, Paul. I can see in your eyes.
Well, a friend of mine actually likes Patrick Roberts.
he sounds like he's got a PlayStation, mate.
Nah, she likes him. I've just been careful because she's in the chat.
She hasn't popped in yet, mate. She hasn't popped in.
But she'll listen to this back, Lohans.
Oh, good. Good. Give me the advertising revenue when we that 1 pence.
The winner might share, lad. I'm coming one day.
I mean, once you've got more than £1, I can give you a share.
Why don't you? Can you float the podcast on the stock exchange for me, and we'll get we'll all buy stocks.
Well, micro pennies.
Like form a business, and the business is creating podcasts. This is the only podcast. Float yourself on the stock market. We can all buy stocks in the podcast.
It sounds like a surefire way of losing money.
I'll set it up as a non-profit then.
Non-profit, but your salary is £1 million.
$1 million. $1 billion. I've been watching that actually. Bitcoin.
You know what? I was talking about this Austin Powers at work a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, I feel like that's the sort of thing that hasn't aged well at all. But they were like, no, it's actually Austin's really respectful of women. I'm probably gonna watch it.
Yeah. Do you know what's funny though? When Austin Powers was made, it was the same time as now from when Austin Powers was made, like 30 years. Because he's set in the 60s, right? The 60s to 90s. Well, it's 90s to now. What would the equivalent of Austin Powers 1990 be like?
Do you reckon? Who is it? Mike Myers or something? Yeah. Is that the guy?
Do you reckon it would be Will Smith in Fresh Prince of Bel-Air? That's what we're all like harping back to.
I reckon he's up for a reboot. Like, I think he'd do it. Price is right.
Let's do it.
Yeah, baby.
That was a good impression.
That was actually really good.
Right.
David's been holding that on. He's kept that out of his ass for a long time, waiting for the prime moment.
Right. Oh, that's funny.
Bye, Frick.
Sure.
Yeah, baby.
We'll move on now very, very, very swiftly. We'll do.
Can we do Spotlight Chart Watch?
Yeah, Chart Watch. And then our Coventry predictions for.
Okay, so in honor
have
of.
Have you got a. Have you, no. Have you got a. We've got a theme tune for this yet. Been around for some time.
Yeah, that was it.
We've got one.
It was supposed to be the Joe's theme tune. Smithy said that he was going to create a graphic and everything.
A copy. I'll do it for next season now. We're too close to the end of the season.
last year I was doing it every week. It's only you get it occasionally now. It's a real treat, isn't it?
It is a treat.
So we're at.
I wouldn't say it was a trade, but let's go.
We're doing a Dillo Sheesh because Crouchy sent us a reel of his goal the other day, and I was like, oh, well, now he's getting on. And
dude.
I thought to myself, hang on, if only there was a section of the podcast that I know where we talk about our players that are out on loan.
Dude.
And here we are. Yeah, so Edil Oshisho, he went out in January, didn't he? And I don't know how all y'all felt, but I thought he was an okay player to have on the bench. That he was a good option.
Way to see him take the corner.
Well, he was in my head, the replacement for Roberts if Roberts ever had an injury or something like that. So it did
sounds like we should get him back. Recall option.
Not happening.
Anyway, since he's been out at Portsmouth, he's out down on the south coast. He's they've played 7 games. He's played every single one of them.
That's good.
Yeah, mostly on for 90 minutes. There's been one or two games where he's been taken off, late on, 80-plus minutes. But he's mostly getting some time down there, which is good. He's playing predominantly in an attacking midfield role, like a cam role. I don't know. We don't really have an equivalent, but like the number 10 behind the striker.
Mm-hmm.
So while he's been down there, they've won 4. Lost 3, and they've all been close. The ones that they lost, it's all been like lost by 1 goal. So they seem to be doing all right. I don't know. I didn't check where they are in the league. Like maybe someone can tell us. But they're doing all right since he's went down there. Like I said just now, he scored a good goal at the weekend. He's got a goal and assist since he went down. He scored a good goal at the weekend. It was.
Portsmouth are 17th, Andrew. 17th, but they're right in the mixer of 13th down to 18th, they're all within 4 points of each other.
Really tight in the down there, yeah.
Yeah, so they're just in the middle of that bunch.
So yeah, he was the best player on the pitch against. So they played Plymouth the weekend. They did lose, but he was the best player on the pitch allegedly. he scored. I'll talk you through the goal. Right, so they won a free kick on the left hand side, sort of kind of just outside the box, left hand side, and the geezer who took it like smashed it straight into the wall and. Oh, sheesh, was like loitering on the edge of the box. Kind of like looked up, took a first time, like smashed an absolute rocket through a load of bodies. Top corner keeper had no chance. Really good goal. Took it really well. And you could tell he was buzzing as well. He ran away like fucking chuffed with himself. Like he'd scored such a good goal. So it seems to be working out from down there. Like I say, he's getting time, getting minutes, which is more like I say last year. Do you remember? Was checking in last year and like all our players were they were out on loan, they were like injured or not in the squad. But this guy seems to be getting some minutes under his belt and doing all right down there.
Yeah,
good stuff. Hopefully, we'll buy him.
We have bought him, yeah. We've got hopefully they buy him. You mean,
yeah,
is there I don't know. I mean, this is maybe something I should know, but I don't know whether there's a obligation to buy or an option to buy or whatever, but
I don't think there is.
Okay.
No, Paul says Paul's usually right as well, so
Paul says no. But yeah, he's doing all right. Happy for him. I always liked him as a player up there. Apart from that game where he kicked it straight out from a fucking corner for a goal kick, apart from that one. The rest of him he did all right.
It was the start of Alan's disapproval when that happened.
I mean he did have some.
They made a DVD on it, didn't they?
Yeah, but I bought it. No, what I'd say was, the times I've seen him this season, he's been okay. You know what I mean? He hasn't been, terrible. His set pieces were just a funny thing that I used to take the piss out of. But he's steady away. Like, I wasn't neither bothered nor fucking up, angry that he left. It was just, players have got to be moved on and we have to keep evolving as a club. What I will say is, I'll let you finish on Sharkwatch before I touch on.
It's over, mate. That's it. Finish.
All right. Well, he Elder. He's not the fucking answer to left back.
Okay.
He's not the answer. He's got the fucking. He's about as fast as.
Where the fuck's
Hogan's,
mate? That's what I wanted. Man's been missing for a year.
Fucking needs new legs.
Who's missing?
Get his legs rebuilt. Niall Huggins.
I forget. Forgot that he.
Yeah, because he's been MIA for fucking 12 months. That's why.
Somewhere on the treatment table.
Somewhere on the treatment table.
Eldo was getting how many? Davey, what was saying? How many times he's getting caught? In fact, did he start? I can't remember what game it was.
So I've got a question.
When did he get the yellow card? Was it the Cardiff game?
It was the game where Certain wasn't playing because he'd been
allegedly. Yeah. Allegedly.
Yeah, but
yeah, it was that game. Sorry, it was obviously there's a big gap. So He pretty much, he's got no pace, right? But when he got that yellow card, I thought the police were going to come and arrest him for fucking assault. It was that bad. You know what I mean? He basically was like a Bruce Lee film, mate. He just fucking booted him down. I thought, he's not quick enough to, if he makes a mistake, he's not quick enough to get back. He's probably better suited to centre half. He's not a fucking left back.
He was a left foot centre half before he came here, wasn't he? Like, they shifted him out wide because there was a gap there when Huggins got injured.
Nah,
like,
he's not for me. Nah.
I know he's not, but like, you've got to remember, like, Mepham and Ballard and No. 9 are always going to win those two places.
Yeah, I get that. Like, but have we not got any? Like, we're big on bringing fucking players through the club. Have we not got a fucking left back in the fucking 21s or someone who's knocking on the door?
Apparently not. We've got some good news for you, though, Alan. According to FotMob, Leo Hielda has currently got a knock, and he's doubtful for the game tomorrow.
Yeah, he's injured.
Good. I mean, not good, but like, yeah.
Look,
what about the...
Other good news, fucking Pervade is injured. I didn't even know.
He's got Weetabix legs in.
Popping on that guy.
Lafay's back after international break for some reason. Somehow.
Lafay's back.
Lafay's back after international break.
Good.
Is he training?
Yeah, he is.
That's good, because it was his hammy one that he did, so they're usually a couple of months in it. So.
Good.
How long has he been out, though? Like,
he was ahead of schedule. It was only last month, wasn't it, when he got injured?
Was it last month? Was it?
Four weeks ago or something like that, yeah. What about the Liverpool kid? The one that we
Jaden Dance
injured all fucking season. He's not going to fucking play.
So he's a lone player, and he's going to be going back in the summer. So what's the point?
Yeah, we should just cancel that loan.
There is no point.
Unless there's something in that loan to say if we cancel it, we have to pay them a certain fee. That's why we're holding on them. That's the only reason why we're holding on them.
Yeah, but when a player fails to a player fails a medical, that's the end of it, surely.
Well, obviously,
being naive.
Apparently not.
Something must have fucking happened. We must have signed him, and then they realised there was an issue after that, potentially. I don't know. But what I do know is this is the second time in 2 years we've signed someone who's been injured. Because we signed, who was it that we signed at the start of the year? And he didn't play it.
Sam Ed.
Yeah. Was that him? He's fucking shite, right? So that's...
Damn it. With constructive criticism of that.
At least I had some facts about my Robert slander.
Yeah, until the podcast has gone on too long. Ah, he's fucking shite.
I mean, he is crap, but like...
Well, look, we don't know because...
We do know.
Look,
nothing good about that guy. Nothing.
He hasn't been here from the start of the season. It's always going to be difficult. Always.
But Alan, you said this before, and I said Lafay came in January and fucking turned the club upside down.
Lafay wasn't injured.
Yeah, you won.
Why this is the question. Why are we signing injured players?
I'm not really.
Not only injured for like a couple
I'm
of
just
weeks.
Gonna...
And, oh, we're going to sign him, but he'll be all right in a couple of weeks. He's just fucking recovering from a knock. From a fucking pervader knock or whatever it is, like sign him in the out for 6 months.
But this happened with Pervader as well. We signed it. Pervader in the fucking summer, and then he was fucking injured immediately.
It
baffles me, mate.
Fucking recruitment.
I mean, some of them are working though, like really well. Some of the gamble.
He's a gambler. He puts his money on different horses and that, and one or two is going to come good, like Lafay. You know, I mean, is it?
Put my dick in the
horse. You're always going to have one or two donkeys.
To talk about the horses, did you see everyone's got their fucking better dog to watch Cheltenham? Did you see that?
No.
So Cheltenham this year put the prices up, right? And it's something like £400 again for one day, right? So obviously they have like a week long event. So you're talking like £2,000 to get in. So, yeah, like, loads of people were like, fuck this, I'm just going to fly to Benidorm and watch it there instead. So you get, like, a cheap flight to Benidorm. just watch fucking Cheltenham in it, in, like, a...
In a pub.
In, like, an Irish bar. Yeah, and pay £1.50 a pint. Yeah. Fucking loads of them there right now.
I'm down for that, like.
Right.
That's where
the one from work.
You know the horse guy, David. One. You know the horse guy. That's where he is.
Is that where he is?
Yeah, in Benidorm. Yeah.
Well, while we're talking about horses, I'll tell you this. Yeah, 400 quid a day, it's expensive.
I've been to Newmarket, it was about fucking 25 quid.
Yeah, but Cheltenham, isn't it? Cheltenham is literally I don't think it's
the prime level.
Where you can hit. Yeah, yeah.
Newmarket? Yeah. Newmarket's the home of horse racing.
It's not the same as Cheltenham, mate. Like, I know now about horses, but I know that Cheltenham's the big one.
Newmarket's the home of horse racing.
Listen, mate, I'll let them fight it out who's got the better racetrack, but I'm just telling you.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to tell you how much Nappy's made from work one on the horses today because anyone's listening. Moving on.
I want to know. I know, Coach, you wouldn't know. He could have checked out for 19 quid, but he fucking didn't.
I'm going to tell you. Well, six races, she had a horse on each way for either one, for every one. £1 bet, 160 quid.
Oh, yeah. That's that.
Yeah.
Nice.
Not bad.
It's to appease the fans. Right. Moving on, because that was a thrilling thrilling amount. It's not my money, so unless he's giving it, I don't care. Okay.
Well, first of all, it was a woman. Smithy.
Oh, sorry.
It was a lady.
She.
Yeah. Misgendered. Yeah, she. And secondly, yeah, horse racing's a bit boring, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do the national, don't you? And then
the horse.
Put a free bet on the horses.
Mate, the guy, the geezer at work's got a full fucking Excel where he works out like all sorts of that. I didn't even know how it works. Like usually I can like.
But you want to help the fucking scrap it because every time he's given me a fucking, every time he's given me a tip, it hasn't fucking come off.
He told the guy at Ian, a guy called Ian at work, like this horse is a guaranteed win. Right, it was.
It finished dead last.
It was like evens, and he was like, "Mate, it's a guaranteed win. Like you can put however much you got in your account on." And so this geezer at work put fucking 40 quid on it. Fucking didn't finish anywhere near. Like he didn't even get anything like each way. Fucking 40 quid just fucking down the drain. See you later.
Tell him from me.
Yeah, shout out Graham. Like he's a good lad, but. Yeah,
he needs to put a password on that spreadsheet and forget it. We need to do
random letters.
Right. Well, I want to move on now to the
smash the keyboard with his face.
No, let's talk more about the horses.
To the predictions for the Coventry game, and we haven't heard from Jacob for a while, so we're going to start with Jacob.
Too busy watching the horses.
He's watching Cheltenham reruns.
Nah. Only the Grand National.
Yeah, I'm with you, lad. I don't bet any horses other than the National League.
Where is the Grand National?
Aintree.
There you go. That's the home of horse racing, then.
Shout out Aintree.
Grand National's usually like April, isn't it? Around April time. Easter, yeah.
I remember I was at a stag do one time when the National was on and got a bit rowdy, like. Rowdy?
In
Leeds?
There you go. So what's your prediction, Jake?
2-2. And also, I'm hoping Liverpool beat Newcastle on Sunday.
Should we have a Liverpool-Newcastle prediction as well?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, Trent's out. It probably makes Liverpool better defensively, if anything, but Trent's out.
Okay, so you're doing Coventry-Sunderland. What are you doing for...
Do Coventry first, like... We do currently first. Yeah.
Is this say 2-2 for Coventry. 2-2 for Coventry, and then for the Liverpool game, 3-1 Liverpool.
Ooh.
I like it. That'll be a good weekend for us. We'll go Divi next. Why not?
No, don't go me next because I'm just seeing what those 2-2 odds are.
You're on the phone, Ivan. Yeah. I mean, you're on the phone. You're on the phone. What was he? Who's that guy who was going to get a life ban?
Lucas
Paquette.
Yeah.
Lucas Paquette, yeah.
Lucas. He's joined the group chat. Me.
Yeah.
Me, Tenali.
Lucas
Paquette.
And Darren Gibson.
Darren Gibson. Darren's in there, but he doesn't offer a lot.
He's got it on mute, mate. He's got the chat on mute, hasn't he? That was the old him.
he's pissed. So he's second bottle of vodka.
He's sitting in Dovedale bus stop. Right, hold on. Mate, I'm not even on the right match here.
Right, go on.
Right,
then.
Not David. Right, someone else. David.
Dale is saying 3-2 to Sunderland. Or 3-2. So I think that might be actually 3-2 to Cov then.
Eh?
He says 3-2 for the game and cover at home, so I'm presuming he means 3-2 to Sunderland, but...
No, he doesn't mean that. He'll clarify that straight away.
Yeah, we need to know if he means 3-2 Sunderland win or a 3-2 home win. Right.
2-2, 11-1. 11-1 for 2-2, and if it was 3-2 to Coventry, that's 22-1. Well, we need some outrageous score, like people score as well.
I'm going to say for against Coventry, it's most likely going to be a draw.
Don't say a draw.
It's going to be a draw. But I'm going to punt here and just go for a Sunderland 3-1 win away from home.
3-1 Sunderland.
Mm-hmm. Who's scoring? Goal scorers, yeah. Isidore, of course. I think Rig might pop in with
first?
One, and maybe Luke O'Neill from a set piece.
Right, okay, hold on.
That those goal scorers, so, it's going to be the max. That's going to be 500-1 without
a shot. A lot of text out in it, yeah. That's just 3-1.
Wilson first, Chris Rig anytime, Luke O'Neill anytime. 423.5-1.
And imagine if I'm right, I am that good. Is it 0.0?
I don't actually think we've ever went, yeah, put on an outrageous one and it's come off this month, this year. But yeah, 3-1. Right. What about the Liverpool game?
Liverpool, I think I'm just going to go again. 3-1.
3-1. All right. 3-1
why,
who?
Why you couldn't just do those numbers out?
I'm wearing red for a reason. Were
you? Eek. You didn't you fucking we say?
Never, we never walk alone.
Has Natalie got a Liverpool kit there with Lallana on the back?
Yeah, she does, yeah.
I wish she's fucking wearing that the weekend, like.
She fucking loves Lallana, like. If Lallana walked past, like, our house.
Fling a wedding ring at you.
Well, that was probably the safer work version of what I was about to say, but let's say yes.
And whilst we're waiting on Tonaligan's company getting back to us.
164-1.
3-1. Nice. I'm game for that. That's nice. Mr. Wilson.
Get it on, lad.
Mr. Wilson. Either. I'd be 20 grand up, I think.
Oh, since I'm going down there.
Mate, put your mic in your mouth. And it was close to your mouth. Oh, there you go.
2-1 Sunderland.
2-1 Sunderland. Awesome.
2-1 Sunderland. Who's scoring first?
I'm going to go with me and Mundell.
Mundell first. Right, okay.
Mundell's bundle.
And I'm going to go Job.
Oh.
And Job.
I haven't had a Job goal for a while, have we?
Cause,
we haven't.
Job can't get banned now on yellow cards because that was... The ban was Preston. Wait,
so what you're saying is he's going to score that he's going to take his shirt off because he can.
Should I put a Job yellow card on this bet as well and see what comes out?
Yeah, go on.
Can you put any player to get any team to go down to 10 men? Is that a gamble?
You can.
Liverpool.
Is that a gamble you could do?
Is that a gamble you could do?
You can tell Smithy's not down for this. He doesn't do.
Liverpool game. I'm going to go 3-0 Liverpool.
All right. Yes. That 2-1 Mundell first, Job, the score, Job, to get a yellow, 405-1.
What are these high odds? What are they thinking? Right. Coventry's going to smash us or something? That's
Coventry are fucking favourites, mate.
Yeah,
just favourites. Yeah, just under 3-2 for Cov and 15-8 for Sunderland. I mean, it's very close. Like they probably don't know who's going to win, but they're slight favourites.
Which is
certainly in this
brings me nicely onto my point, chat. Which I think it's going to be two teams who don't want to fucking lose.
Oh.
It's going to be an absolute fucking drag, and it's going to finish nil to pace.
Oh no,
nil nil.
Man, that's boring. So nil nil, and
no one scoring, but I reckon there's like put a couple of yellow cards in there, like. Oh nine yellow card.
Five plus yellow cards, do you reckon?
Yeah. Easy. Can you do that? Can you do a gamble on that, please, David? 5+ yellow cards.
Yeah, watch, it'll be a red card in this game.
I hope this gamble finds you well.
I bet there'll be a red card for Coventry.
That margin.
That'd be nice.
Over 5 yellow cards.
Yeah, right. Go on.
Over 4.5 cards, 216-1.
What, mate? 216-1? Yeah,
cash it half an hour in, mate, though.
Mate, 216-1 is absolutely mega for an out of pace for some cards, like.
And the Liverpool game?
I think Liverpool fucking went 2-0. Like, easy peasy.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Like we did against Wickham.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
is Gareth Ainsworth still the Wickham manager? In with the foot long hair?
No, it's Michael.
Mullet.
It's Doddsy.
McDodds. Where's Ainsworth now? He was on Sky, the pundit, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. In the bar, there's
he's at Shrewsbury. Managing Shrewsbury.
Oh. He's in fucking. What's the Barbers on Sea Road called? East Coast. He's in East Coast.
Shrewsbury. All right. Fair enough.
Alan, how's your gaming going?
We're sitting, mate. 1v4.
Is there any Warzone in the background?
No, I was just looking at Sky a bit, sorry. What were we talking about?
Predictions for... predictions for the call and...
Oh, Alan's zoned out around what the horse is. He's only just coming out now.
Ray, I think we're going to get beat. 2-0. I don't think we're playing well. I think they're playing well. I know they got beat off Derby Lake, but they won. How many?
10-6. 6-1, like 2-0.
I think. Look, I want to win, but like I'm going to be pessimistic and say I think.
They're on a really good run.
We're in average form and they're in good form, and I feel like. 2-0 Coventry, like, I just lose the Coventry
as well, like.
Yeah, I've never seen us play. Like, we played him at home and we were 2-0 up, flung it away. You know, it was just...
Maybe that's why Preston and Cardiff are played in the sky blue, because they realised we always play shit in that colour.
That was something else Frankie was saying, you know. He was talking about how all the teams were playing recently are all being in blue. And I was...
He was saying,
"Oh, Preston, the Preston shirt looks a bit like the Napoli blue, whereas the Cardiff blue was a bit deeper." And I was like, "Frankie,
you
stop trying to fill the fucking air, lad.
He's a national treasure. Leave him alone."
We're gonna play another team.
Right,
in
do
blue.
You ever want him to ever come on this podcast? You best start.
I would love it. The amount of prep I'd do for Charlotte Watch, that day would be fucking out.
When I see him in Morrison's, I'm going to fucking jump out and go, "Hey, do you want to be on my mate's podcast?"
He'd probably go,
"Yeah, while he's picking cans off the shelf.
Why are you hiding behind the fucking apples? You just talk to me like a normal man." Someone want to have a guess?
Following his car, like you'd like chase him down. Frankie,
what do you reckon, Frankie? Right,
Frankie.
I reckon Frankie's got like a nondescript car. Like
he's got a fucking. I'm not going to tell you what he's got because we can't really.
No. It's going to be a Vauxhall. I've seen his car. It's going to be a Vauxhall Astra.
It's not. It's not.
It's going to say like an old school estate, mate. Like
it's not. I'm not going to tell you what Frankie does because I don't. I feel like we're going to promote and people stalking.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You don't have to say yes or no. You can say.
No, we're not playing this game. I'm not. It's a secret that I'll take to the grave. Frankie's car. Right.
Tell us later on, Bozo.
Oh.
Right. Does anyone else want to guess? How many games in the head-to-head, right, Coventry versus Sunderland, how many games in a row that Coventry haven't lost to us? So
I'm going to say nine.
Nine games without a loss.
I think it's between, it was the last, it was 2010 or something. I can't remember the stat is the last time we won. Is it? I can't remember. There's some stat like that.
I'm going to say 11.
I can't fucking
11 remember. Games. Alan, what's your guess? Andrew said nine, so 11.
I'll see a 10 then.
All right.
Yeah. I hope it's fucking
one. Paul, you gone 8 or 12?
8.
Right. All right, James 12 then. Well done. James, you're the winner.
7 or 12?
Are you going 12 or?
No, I might go with 11.
You can't go 11. Someone's already paid 11.
All right, 12.
No, great choice. It was 12. 12 games without beating Coventry in a row up to this game.
It's a great start.
So,
is it a great start?
Wonderful.
It's great.
And also, Andrew, actually, to back up your fucking bet, 5 out of 5 of the last games, so all of the last 5 games have all had more than 4.5 cards.
There you go. Put it on now, man. 200-1.
Right.
Nil-nil. More than 4.5 cards.
Davey, what's your predictions, mate? Because I think we...
Oh, yeah.
So, is Liverpool winning or not?
He was listed.
Of course.
By how many?
I don't know. 4-0. Total fucking... Basically, what's going to happen is the crowd, it's going to be too much for them. Dan Burns like to be... Because he's got an England call up, he'd be like, yeah, and the big cheese cutting about and that, and then his fucking head's not in the game because he's thinking about his England call. It'd be crap.
Mm.
Isaac would probably do his army first 10 minutes. It's going to be a total dominant performance.
Gordon's out, isn't he? Is Gordon out?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, a little rash football, isn't he?
Yeah, I think they've got Lewis Hall's out as well. That fullback, he's got a fucking ankle injury or something. Anyway, they're only missing Trent, and I feel like a lot of the media this week has been like, "Oh, if Newcastle if they win one, this could be it. We'll bring a DVD out. It'll be out for Christmas." You know what I mean? And it's all over the news in that, all over Sky Sports. No one's mentioned Liverpool. It's fucking top of the league. You know what I mean? Fucking. Mo Salah. You know what I mean? So.
Salah, right?
I don't know the chance, but it's.
Remember the Salah? Oh, money, money. Do you remember that song?
Yeah, when they had Salah and Mane, yeah.
Salah, Mane, and Firmino. That was a good chant, that, like.
Yeah. So we're 4-0 Liverpool.
Firmino.
That's one.
And how the fuck is Dan Burn being called for England?
Yeah, I know.
You got the fucking turn. Well, you could say that about Henderson, because I don't think Henderson being. I think
Henderson's there just for like the squad. Do you know what I mean? I kind of see him.
Ajax are top of the league.
I didn't know that, but I'm not surprised.
They're 6 points clear top of the league, and he's the captain, so
there you go.
Might be a little to do with that. But...
All right.
Anyway.
Right. So we need Davey's prediction, by the way. But Dale's popped in with another lovely stat. The last time he won at Coventry was in April.
1985. Oh, great.
So,
before most of us were born.
40 years ago.
Most of us.
I'd love to know what the score was.
All right, get Dale on what the score was. Okay. We're fucking 100% getting beat off Coventry. Like, 100%. I don't think we're going to score. I'd say 1-0, Coventry.
Okay. Sad times.
Yeah.
And...
yeah, it's not a team for us. And Liverpool to lift the trophy, beat the Mags on penalties, just for lols.
Well, because they lost 4-1 on penalties last weekend, so they got to get better at
it. Yeah, man, that's it. Yeah,
I don't think that PSG match is going to affect Liverpool's performance on Sunday. I think they'll...
I think if anything, they'll want to win it more.
Yeah.
Mm. Out of the Champions League.
I think their squad's just unreal when you look at Liverpool. It's too good compared to Newcastle, isn't it?
It's too good compared to fucking every team in the league. They're fucking cruising at the top.
Right.
You should, you know, when they won the league in COVID, the last time they won Prem.
Yeah, I remember.
There was a combination of all the people reacting to Liverpool winning the league, Man United and Everton fans. And there was this Everton fan who got his TV out of the house and he said, "I'm not watching Liverpool win the league." You know, and I think he just smashes his TV.
But right, it was a Sony.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good reaction, that Jake, but I've got a better one. When Wales got beat by England in the rugby, in fact, no, the opposite way around, when Wales beat England in the rugby, a Welsh fan cut his ball bag off with his pair of tin snips.
Oh, my God, dude.
Fuck me.
Oh, my
God. I think
I'm crossing my legs now after that. I'm crossing my legs.
You can Google it, because... that's what happened.
Just Google tin snip Wales ball sack.
You got a snippy snip?
I've got a snippy snip this section out.
Why?
We're not live.
Your legs now after that. Live, yeah. I'm just crossing your legs.
You can say whatever you want.
Yeah. But that is a fact. But, right. Sorry.
We're not live, are we not?
We are live. Are we live? We are live. Yeah.
We are live. Remember when I talked about.
Thanks, Alan. Could get us demonetized.
I talked about Michael Beale before.
Yes.
And when we went.
Yes. Yes. I did actually cut that out. That wasn't live. That was lucky.
Anyway, when we weren't live, mate, you cut so much of the show. I'm pretty sure, like, 1 week we sat down, we talked for like 2 hours, and then a few days later it was up.
It was
45
30
minutes long.
It was absolute.
Mate, there was some quality jokes just on the cutting room floor, like.
Oh, it's in the bin.
It was one of Ben's jokes was hilarious, and that was
that was dark though, man. That was dark.
It would
have potentially ended his career. Let's put it that way.
My career is over.
Like, what?
Don't think you can say it in that.
I'm gonna lose my job.
I think that's it.
Enjoy your night. Are we
wrapping up? Is that it?
We're wrapping up.
We didn't start the song. Can we finish on a song?
Things can only get better.
No, I was thinking the Liverpool song, mate.
Oh, I don't know.
You'll never walk alone.
You'll never walk alone. I know the Beatles.